Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lunchtime Wisdom on the With Insights Radio Network with your host, Iggy Garcia, Mark Mattini, Katie Singeneagle. Sit back and relax, grab a sandwich, listen to some of the coolest hosts on the internet. Food for your soul, food for your heart. Now, on to the show. Welcome to With Insights Radio Network. Today is Lunchtime Wisdom with Mark Mattini and Iggy Garcia. Katie is actually on assignment. She's out doing some coursework and life coaching skills and stuff like that. So she's going to come back with some new found insights, new energy. And so we wish her luck and looking forward to learn from her the things she learns along the way. How are you, my friend?
Aloha. How's it going?
I wish it was aloha right now.
Yeah, it's a little nippy out. At least most of the snow's melted.
Yeah.
Running around like a crazy rabbit.
Yeah, yeah. You get like 5 minutes, your text just came in as you're walking down those steps. You have like, 50 seconds to go. Mark's on the headphone. He's here.
Cutting it as close as I can.
Yeah, later here this afternoon, around noon, we're going to have a special guest. Her name is Lisa Marie Jenkins. She wrote a book called Wake Up Beauty. It's not about the prince. So we look forward for her to call in. Hopefully we got all our connections and all our things in order to have her on. So it's always cool to see a different perspective on things and how women view business and coaching and life. So I look forward to that interview when she calls in. So
very, very acclaimed writer. She actually, I read some of her book reviews on Amazon today. She's got a 5-star rating out of like, I think she had like 17 reviews on there and had a 5-star rating. That's rare. You see a 5-star rating on anything.
Absolutely.
Especially with that many rating reviews.
Right. So we're really happy that she is taking a little time out of her busy schedule to share her thoughts with our listeners and with ourselves and hope to pick her brain a little bit and learn a little bit about what she does and stuff. Other than that, so what's going on in up in outer space? That's what I call it, outer space.
Actually, I had someone message me this morning asking if there was a lot of psychic energy out there right now because someone had asked them that question. And yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's a lot of Pisces energy out there right now. We've got Venus and Mars and Chiron and Neptune, all in the sign of Pisces right now, and Pisces ruled by Neptune. So Neptune's in its ruling planet sign, and that phrase didn't come out right. Neptune being the ruling planet of Pisces. So definitely Neptune rules psychic energy and intuition and manifesting and all those fun things. So it's definitely probably a little foggy maneuvering for some people out there, but there's lots happening, and now is a great time to manifest your vision of what you want your reality to look like.
Right, so because we're going out of the retrograde tomorrow, right?
Mercury will go out of its fantabulous retrograde that we all love so much at 9:57 Eastern Standard Time tomorrow morning. Nice. And just right now, what today is February 10th, just so you know, we stand with Venus at 18 Pisces, Mars at 23 Pisces, I believe Chiron is in the late teens, and Neptune is at 7 degrees Pisces. So astrologically, other than once we get out of the Mercury retrograde tomorrow, we just kind of have, I think, Jupiter is the only retrograde planet. So fairly smooth sailing energy-wise here for the next few weeks. March will be entertaining. March will be entertaining as we hit the last of the Uranus-Pluto squares. But right now it is about envisioning what you want your life and your reality to look like.
Good. And the eyes of March, is that what they call it?
Yeah.
So always look at that.
Yeah, lots of really big astrological energy in March.
And why is it March so big like that?
It's just kind of the roll of the dice this year. But normally, one of the most dramatic energy bumps we see is when a planet goes from Pisces to Aries, because Pisces is very foggy and dreamlike and has to do with the subconscious and intuition and secrets and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And then Aries energy is full speed ahead. And so if you want to see the dramatic shift in energy, on February 19th at 7:12 p.m., that is a week from this Thursday, the moon will be in Pisces, but you're gonna see a tremendous shift there in a 24-hour period. We have a Moon-Neptune conjunction in the sign of Pisces at 5:49 in the morning on the 19th. Then at 7:12 in the evening, Mars moves from Pisces to Aries, which is like driving 2 miles an hour and then just crushing the gas pedal. Be a dramatic increase in energy. And then at 6:13 in the evening on Friday the 20th, the Moon goes from Pisces into Aries. So then that will be a very entertaining weekend. the sun goes from Aquarius into Pisces on the evening February 18th. So there's a lot of big shifts next week. 18th, sun goes into Pisces from Aquarius, and then moon goes into Pisces as well as the sun that same day. Then we have Mars going into Aries on the 19th. Then we have Venus going from Pisces into Aries on the 20th. And then on the 21st, we have a Moon-Uranus conjunction in the sign of Aries. So it will be very entertaining. Moon conjunct Mars in Aries on the 20th also. There'll be lots of big shifts there that end next week. So look for
good.
Some big energy shifts.
You know, our guest's gonna be on later on, and I was kinda thinking about how throughout time, throughout society we've treated women. Men have treated women, you know, as
right.
You know, just sometimes second-class citizens, and sometimes as nothing. You know, I mean, and to even think that men did that
right.
to women at any given time in history is kind of weird to think about, because we all come from a woman.
Right.
You know, especially us men.
Right.
We should be very grateful and thankful for that our moms, you know, gave birth to us, you know, and carried us to term. And that we're this special gift, and then we turn around and we totally treat women, in better words, like crap.
Right.
And it still goes on. I mean, not just in other countries, but it happens here too. I see it here as well.
Right. I mean, when you look at the totality of history, it's a little bit scary when you see just how recently women and, you know, like some quote-unquote minorities have been given, you know, the rights to vote and other basic things. I mean, it's not distant history. It's just
very
recently.
Yeah, you're right.
And then, too, even, you know, sometimes that stuff is kind of like on paper only, you know? Just because you legally get certain rights, it's not necessarily, doesn't always play out exactly into 3D reality. Mm-hmm. But when reading through Lisa's stuff here, I was just kind of skimming over a little bit of her stuff. She's won several awards. She writes for the Huffington Post. She has a blog on there. She had an awesome quote that I just really loved, because it's easy to get caught up sometimes in victimization.
Mm-hmm.
May not have had enough coffee yet. But she had an awesome quote. It says, "Stop waiting to be rescued."
Mm-hmm.
And even though I know her books are probably geared toward women, I think there's something in that for everyone, because people of all genders, nationalities, races can sometimes get caught up, I think, in the victimization thing. So I like it that she's not, it's not about pointing blame or being a victim or anything. It's like, seize control of your destiny is the message I got out of that. Stop waiting for someone to mm-hmm. save you. Claim your rightful authority that you were born with and mm-hmm. only have not acted on because of, you know, societal standards or norms or religious dogma or whatever it may have been. But, you know, stand up and just claim your power.
Right. That's important because it's so easy to give it away.
Yep.
Know? I mean, and sometimes you don't even know you gave it away.
Right.
And that's probably the biggest tragedy sometimes, when you didn't realize that you gave it away.
Right. I mean, I've never once in my life have I ever had someone come into my apartment and hold a gun to my head.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like we just willingly give a lot of our power away.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know, it's very easy to, you know, when I was younger, I would get into that. Blame other people and circumstances and stuff like that. And it's like, but you know, I just kind of shifted as to, you know, I'm going to do what I'm here to do and step mm-hmm. into what I'm supposed to be doing, and just really saw that I was the only person that's really held me back in my life has been me.
Right.
So it's like, I'm really coming to terms with, and you don't have to step out into your, it doesn't have to be in a angry or aggressive manner. You be on the path that you're supposed to be on, and you know that sometimes people, you know, and when I'm doing astrology stuff, people will be like, oh no, I've got this terrible transit coming and this kind of stuff, and I can, even in the astrology community sometimes, and even I feed into this sometimes, it could be some, you know, fear-based stuff, but like, it's not, even if you have a difficult transit, it's to help loosen chains or to help get you unstuck from things that are holding you back.
Right.
So, you know, energy is just, you know, transits, aspects, astrology signs, these are all measurements of energy. And so when you see what energy is coming, you know, you can always use even the most difficult transits, you can use to your benefit. It's all about how you direct that energy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, speaking of women who empower other women and other as men as well,
mm-hmm.
you know, we have a good friend. We have several good friends like that, but one is going to be at Dawn Thompson. So I'm excited about that. You know, her show, the webinar with
awesome.
Dawn of a New Era. So I want to bring her on so she can kind of talk a little bit about her show and what's going to be happening, what's going to be on. And I'm just really excited about that, you know, she's going to take time out of her busy schedule once a month to at least share her thoughts and her concerns and things and how she sees the world. And, you know, helping people find that path, get back on the path. So let's bring her. Welcome to the show.
Hi. How's it going,
What's
guys?
Going? We're doing well.
Hi there.
Hi, Mark. Hi, Iggy.
What's going on?
Nothing much. It's busy times, but I'm super, super excited.
Yeah,
excited.
I heard you could have your show tomorrow.
Yeah, you did. You heard that through the grapevine. Yes. Thanks to you, I get the opportunity to do this, and I am super excited to see what manifests with it, you know, and there's always collective themes going on that love to talk and process and share with others and see what they're thinking about it, and, you know, I tend to focus on, you know, self-care and caring about yourself and connecting with others and So we'll see what all manifests with that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Dawn and I exchanged services not too long ago. She's a very, very gifted and intuitive reader. I was very happy with the feedback I got from her.
Thanks, Mark. Yeah, I like to an individual to see what's rising, what's happening with people. There's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of cycles and rhythms to each one of us, and again, collectively, what we're all going through. And just to take time and space to really identify that, you know, oh, like for example, right now we're in this, you know, this very deep going within and really planting seeds of what's going to be what we're all birthing in the spring, and facing some of the stuff, clearing away some of the stuff that we don't want anymore, so that we can really bring ourselves into the world in a more powerful, authentic, and vulnerable way. You know, I'm really big on vulnerability, and it's kind of a scary word, but to me, it's important to be real. And when it comes to like communication, for example, like if we're talking about communication, really saying like I'm nervous about this, but I'm still here. I'm still showing up. And instead of putting on masks, worked really hard on taking down masks and just being like, hey, here's who I am. I don't know what's going to come from it, but I'm here.
Yeah, Mark and I are going to have a guest on later. Her name is Lisa Marie Jenkins. And she's she writes a book about empowering women and just empowering people in general, I think. She's wrote a book called Wake Up Beauty. And it's about, you know, just talking about how women don't need that fairy tale prince, you know, to
right.
save them.
Right.
And Mark and I asked Mark a question. I posed a question to him, you know, why do men treat women the way they did? I mean, because, you know, men came from a woman, you know, and it's like, well, how could you treat your mom like that? Because if you treat another woman like that, you really treat your mom like that, too. You know, you're setting an example.
I think it's all fear-based.
It is fear-based, but why is it fearful? That's why I'm curious, why some men are so fearful of women.
You know, on the physical level, on that level, you know, we don't have the power to create, I guess. But it's, you know, general.
That's a good point.
Less, this will probably come out wrong, less evolved beings, tend to hold down or be fearful of anything they can't do or that they are afraid of, because ultimately it's a fear of them losing control or losing their power. So the way to do that is to repress that power or keep it under lock and key so it does not get too powerful. And to see an example of this, look at every government in the history of the earth.
Very good. I like it.
It's definitely come up in a lot of session work and just communicating with other women. There's been a rise of that, and I'm glad that men are aware of it and they're curious about, like, hey, what is this and where did this come from? And from communicating with other women and also doing deep, you know, soul, emotional, and somatic work as well with other women, we found a rise of what I call the Lilith, which is the repressed part of women, which we repressed. It's very, you know, it's when it comes to yin and yang, it's this dark part of us, and dark not being bad, but dark being mysterious, being the unknown, being really deep and gritty and powerful. And there's the myth about the Eve and Lilith archetypes that I teach about. You know, we've been, as women, been taught to be sugar and spice and everything nice, and men have been, you know, you don't feel and be strong and you've got to protect, and we've embodied these roles that do serve, but really what we're being called to do is to bring in more of you know, if we're the yin, more of the yang, if we're the yang, more of the yin. So a lot of women that I've been working with and that have been working with me, we're all trying to embody the shadow sides of what it means to be a woman, the parts that we have repressed to make maybe men, you know, whoever's incarnated this lifetime as a man, more comfortable, and to step back into our power, because we have not only, you know, whether we create a baby with our wombs, we have this womb space that can create some really powerful magic and some really powerful ideas, and it is scary when the unknown is scary, and I guess that's what referring back to what I was talking about earlier, what's coming up currently right now, and you know, in our linear time space, is that we're all like, wow, what are these scary parts that we've been repressing that we're afraid of because we can't control, and can we be vulnerable and say, I can't control this and I don't know about it, but I'm going to sit with it. I'm going to feel it and see what rises up in this space. And boy, the coolest stuff happens when we can sit with that and be curious about it, not try to judge it or fix it or figure it out. Just be like, I'm curious. What is this? Why?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I know from history in the past that men had, you know, revered women in that power to create life and had done ceremony, you know, even, pretending there was a certain ceremony in ancient days where men would actually take deer's blood and they would actually like emulate the once a month moon cycle, the bleeding, like the power of life. And then I don't know how it got changed over, but it did. And now we're going back into a balance of it where it's not women are revered or men are revered. Just both of us, we've got stuff to bring to the table, right?
Sure. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Totally, absolutely on that. Yeah, you know, Mark made a good point, though. Some things are on paper.
Right.
They give women right to do things. But yet, you know, there's an unspoken underline. You know, I've met these people before, you know, and you want to send good energy their way because, you know, they just, somebody taught them something that, you know, that was kind of a learned behavior. You know, because when you're little,
yeah.
I don't think I've ever met a little kid who never loved his mom, you know, when he was little. But as you get older, you start to take in, you start to learn, you start to absorb, you start to buy into things, you start to buy into philosophies and ideologies and different things, and religion, of course, and then you start to warp your belief systems a little bit, and then you start to create, because all our belief systems are our own, so however we pan it and fix it and manipulate it, there is a big change coming, I believe. I mean, I'm sure both of the three of us can feel that.
Absolutely, absolutely.
It is
yeah,
here.
Yeah,
there's a teaching in evolutionary astrology that I do, and it's anything that is repressed becomes distorted, and everything that is distorted eventually releases itself in rage. So that kind of, so as we kind of distort these archetypes and things, and it kind of, you know, an anger or rage all feeds out of fear. So as we kind of distort and try to manipulate these, you know, archetypes and the, you know, reality of existence and everything, then we end up with issues later on because we've tried to manipulate or contort things to keep them, quote unquote, under control, if you will, or whatnot. And then with you know, Pluto's in Capricorn now, so that's all about self-accountability.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think that feeds back into us, you know, trying to be accountable for our own actions and our own reality and reclaiming power wherever we've given it away. Also read as Uranus square Pluto.
Cool.
You know what that makes me think of is the, I don't know if you guys have read the Don Miguel Four Agreements, but we've all made agreements of what men should look like, what women should look like, what a father should look like, what a mother should look like, and that word, the reason why I like that word curious so much is because, like you were just saying, Iggy, we make these agreements and then we settle into them, and part of the reason why I love hanging out with you guys is that you're like, I don't know about this agreement, I'm curious about it, do I really want this one, am I willing to break that contract and start a new one and be more flexible with my beliefs?
Mm-hmm.
It's really awesome because then it gives other people permission to do the same thing, to see, like, is this really my agreement, or do I want to subscribe to this anymore?
Yeah, because I'm like that. You know, and Don knows me for, you know, a little bit longer than you, Mark, but I don't like to stay in things that don't feel right. you know, and energetically it's starting to pull on me and not me, you know, I'm breaking that agreement, man. We're moving on.
Right. All right.
You go on over there and do your silly thing, or I'll go do my silly thing over here, so.
And I get how agreements make people feel safe. That's the thing. But the safety is an illusion. And I also get when you become too expanded and too open-minded, I mean, it's like a child needs boundaries and rules to feel safe. You know, we do to some degree. The further we can expand and stay open, it's like, ooh, there's really a big world out there. There's all different types of possibilities. It's kind of scary, but that's when you go back into the resilience and safety, and not only in your own self, but in community. I'm really big on building community, as you guys are.
Yeah, absolutely. The community is huge. I love the community aspect. It just, there's so much room for evolvement and improvement and growth, I believe. Because you and I had this conversation, Don, about the village aspect of things. I'm not really big on village aspect, never have been. Village is kind of like the system we live in now.
Right.
We all have to do our part. But in a community, everybody does parts. Everybody learns to be blacksmith. Everybody learns to be a farmer. You know, everybody learns to do these things. So in case you get separated or you move on and you get too big, you can carry those knowledge and move it on to the next place. So you're kind of like a jack of all trades, but yet you have the ability to adapt.
Wow, I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, hey guys, I gotta head off and go into work, but I'm excited about tomorrow, and thanks for letting me drop in today.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
We will catch you tomorrow at noon, and those of you who want to tune in, I will be her sidekick, Mr. Panda Bear.
All right,
Don. We love you.
Okay.
Take care.
Love you, too. Bye. Take care.
Bye, dear.
That was awesome.
Don's a great person.
Oh, yeah.
She's wonderful to be around.
Mm-hmm. Her energy is just really stoked, positive.
Yeah.
And I love it. She brings good stuff, you know?
Yes.
We do things, we hang out, we go dancing, we, you know.
Yeah. I was friends with her on Facebook for like 3 years before I finally
really
met her.
That's funny. It's like that, isn't it? You're friends with people, don't even know it.
Yeah, and you could even, you talk to them on their posts and stuff on Facebook and communicate with them. Sometimes it's just hard to have physically meet up with people.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's a very good spirit to be around.
Yeah, she's a Taurus, isn't she?
She is a Taurus.
Yeah. Tell us about Taurus. I just want to...
Tauruses are very... So I have Venus and my North Node in Taurus in my chart. So I've... Like three of my best friends for like the last like 30 years are Tauruses. So I get along well with that Taurus energy. They're very grounded. They're very stable. They're very good friends to have. Tauruses are not always the fastest moving people in the world. I like to call it the tortoise and the hare story. I like to call it the Taurus and the hare. Tauruses are they're kind of slow moving but very steady, and they're good at finishing and getting things done because they have that ability to, Taurus is a fixed sign, so it's that fixed energy, so they can be, Taurus energy works well for me to kind of revolve around, because I'm kind of all over the place, you know, visiting Neptune and things like that, so it's good to have, I've always had those Taurus friends as kind of like a home base to kind of keep me somewhat grounded, and they're very earthy and passionate and, you know, usually very sensual and just very, very good. They're all about keeping us grounded and showing us the creature comforts and the good things about the physical reality that we're in. And I've had several discussions about this. Right. Well, over the last year, I've had probably thousands of discussions about grounding and keeping centered with all these, the time changes and ascension and all this crazy karma shedding and all this other stuff that's going on. You know, there's a reason. There's a reason that we wanted to come back here into the physical 3D. We could have been floating out in space and communicating with people on different levels and stuff, but we came down here into this physical form to learn certain things. So, as much as most of my thoughts are spiritual, I've totally gotten off topic here, haven't I? So, as much as I delve into the spiritual world the majority of my time and concerned with physical things, you know, or with spiritual things, there's still, you know, there's physical parts of this reality, you know. It's nice sometimes to have a good meal,
mm-hmm.
or to, you know, be able to buy a nice, soft, warm blanket, or, you know, there's physical comforts and physical nurturing things that, you know, it's okay to enjoy that, because as I know, sometimes I get caught up too much into the spiritual stuff, and it's like, hey, there's a reason you're not out floating around in space trying to operate things from there. There's a reason you're here in your physical 3D earthly body,
mm-hmm.
and so it's okay to enjoy some of the creature comforts and stuff sometimes, and not always like feel guilty about.
I enjoy the physical body as much as I enjoy, you know, my spiritual body as well. You know, I've come to learn that, you know, you need both to work, you know, simultaneously in harmony, as harmonic as possible.
Right, and it's... Yeah, I had a really good thought, and I just totally left. it is. It's hard to balance that spiritual and physical sometimes, because it's like some people really good with the 3D reality, the, you know, paying their bills and going to work and that stuff, which I've done very well, mm-hmm. at, you know, large stretches of time. And then there's times when you go back to, like, you know, I need to balance the spiritual stuff with that. And I'm leaning back and forth in my chair for visual effect, even though it doesn't really work over the radio.
They're amazing.
So, yeah. So, I mean, it took me, in this lifetime, it took me a really long time to get comfortable in my skin. I did not feel that I belonged here,
mm-hmm.
being an alien, until it took me a long time to kind of see the... Actually, a lot of people, it's after they have their first Saturn return between ages of 28 and 30 that they kind of get grounded into this reality. It took me a long time. I did not feel comfortable in my skin for a really long time. I was like, I felt like I was always wanting out of the physical reality. I mean, never in a harmful, not like, mm-hmm. a suicidal way or anything like that. Just took me a long time to get comfortable in my skin.
And what do you think that was?
Because I think I'm mostly a spiritual centered entity,
mm-hmm.
and it's a, you know, you're kind of drawn towards the spiritual stuff, but then sometimes then you kind of figure out, oh, hey, that there's a reason for being here in the physical body too, so it doesn't all have to be. I can get lost in the big picture stuff sometimes. There can be enjoyment and pleasure in the 3D physical reality too, you know. Then it just took me a long time to get that concept. I just knew that there was more than the 3D reality that was in front of us for a long time. And until I was around people that kind of showed me some things, I just always felt weird and different most of the time, you know, very, very shy, very shy, you know, the first 30 years of my incarnation here, just brutally shy. It just took me a long time. Once I could tap into that, start remembering some of that spiritual part of reality, only then could I kind of figure out the physical part and start using, this is going to sound like a contradiction, I needed to get grounded into the spirituality part,
mm-hmm.
before I could really function properly in my physical form.
Right. So when you realize, you know, since you are gray, you're a gray.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Very gray today. The grays were in gray.
When you came to this planet, you know, when you landed and you arrived,
right.
It was a big adjustment. You had to take on a new form, a new body.
It was. It was like moving to another country. You got to learn the language and the right. customs and which side of the road to drive on and how many kilometers it is to and things like that. So it's simpler, you know. Some people are very comfortable in their physical body and have a hard time getting, you know, it's uncomfortable to deal with the spiritual stuff and or the emotional stuff. Maybe some people are very grounded in the spiritual and it's hard to deal with the emotional parts of the reality. But essentially all these different pieces, parts of us come together, and that's how we kind of have to figure out how they all work. Like I was really, really emotion based my first 30 years of existence on the little blue marble. And that kind of controlled my actions until I started, you know, you have some events that kind of shock you emotionally, and that kind of gets you into the bigger, you start looking at the spiritual, you know, why is this happening? What is the purpose of this? What did this mean?
Right.
And you start getting into that stuff, and then that kind of let you kind of start analyzing the different pieces and put all the pieces, parts together to where you see, okay, this is the importance of being in the 3D reality. This is why I came here to experience emotions. And then this is how I channel and funnel all these things together through my spiritual reality and existence.
Cool. You know, if I close my eyes, you sound like Roger from Family Guy.
From Roger.
Roger from the Family Guy.
Roger.
Remember Family Guy?
Oh, yes. Yes, absolutely.
I'll close my eyes. That sounds like Roger. Roger's the alien.
Oh,
he's the great alien, yeah.
On
not Family Guy, but
American
Dad.
Dad. Yes,
American
yes,
Dad.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. I love Roger.
I'm thinking I'm close.
Roger's one of my heroes.
Well, that sounds like Roger.
Roger's one of my favorite TV characters.
I love his humor. It's just like...
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
And then all the little... You know, all the little costumes he comes up with and all the characters he tries to be. And then nobody recognizes him, but you know it's him.
Right. Right.
He takes off the mustache. It's me. I mean, he looks like a pig.
Right, right. It's like he doesn't hide very well, even though when he's in a dress or some bizarre outfit. Me and Roger have a similar personality and sense of humor, which is kind of scary that I have a similar sense of humor to an alien cartoon character. But that's a topic for probably another day.
Yeah.
That may be a show of itself.
Absolutely. We don't want to disclose everything on one
show. Right. Remember, that's right, we're in the United States. It's not about disclosure here.
All right, let's take a little break and we'll be right back.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Your free online holistic publication resource radio for trusting your intuition, achieving self-discovery, and following your soul self.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com and WithInsights.com, your free online holistic publication resource magazine for achieving self-discovery and inspiration. Please feel free to explore our daily inspirational quotes and uplifting stories, exclusive interviews with local world-known inspirational leaders.
Welcome back to Lunchtime Wisdom. We are your hosts, E. Garcia.
Mark the Rabbit.
And we're here, and we're talking. Our guest is not here yet, so could be she'll call in here a little bit later. I haven't really heard from her. There was some confusion on
the
time zones,
difference.
You know, so I think she somehow thought we were in Pacific time.
And
I sent her an email about that we're actually Eastern time. I believe she's Eastern time, too, so...
Yeah, I believe, it looked like on her website said she was in Tampa, but she could be traveling or something.
Sure.
Whatnot. That Mercury's still retrograde. These miscommunications happen sometimes.
I sent her a friend request. She responded, so it was like just in the last hour. So.
Oh.
I'm not sure. Well, you know, it's what it is. So, if we somehow miss her for some reason, we'll get her on. We'll reschedule and get her on, and dedicate a good hour for her show. Because I really wanted to learn and hear what she had to say. So.
Yeah. Yeah. It looked like her stuff was. Really good. I mean, like I said, great reviews on Amazon,
mm-hmm.
blogs on the Huffington Post.
Mm-hmm.
She's won the President's Award for Leadership, I believe, a couple
mm-hmm.
times, and worked with several Fortune 500 companies, worked for Cisco, I believe I saw.
Yeah.
And she, in fact, I just ran across this morning. It didn't get a chance to listen. And maybe this gives it, you know, if we... if our paths don't cross today, this will give me an opportunity. Because I ran across, looking through her
mm-hmm.
website and stuff this morning, I ran across what looked like a really awesome podcast she had put up. And I'm gonna massacre the title a little bit here. But it was something how to...
I like when you say that. Go ahead.
It was about how to quit your job and get started in the world of startups and personal branding, which is very interesting. I went through that kind of thing a year ago, so
mm-hmm.
maybe I'm supposed to have a chance to listen to that podcast before we have her on.
Yeah, maybe I'll do that too.
Right.
We're all kind of trying to rebrand. And
yeah, and I'll send you that link. In fact, I'll post the link to that podcast on my Facebook wall.
Perfect.
And we'll post it in the... If we end up not having her till next week, we'll post it on the chat room.
Perfect.
Week.
I'm going to put in the chat at least her website so those who are on there can see it. I'll send it there. Very good. And I know Maisie was going to come on and she was going to share some thoughts, but I think she's got a sore throat or something, so on the show today. So, but if she wants to call in and say, hey, I'm here, I mean, she's more than welcome to. I think I see her in the chat room. A shout out to you, Maisie.
Yes, a good friend and common listener of our shows.
And now it's time for
Sports Astrology.
As the crowd cheers for Mark.
This is not even really a sports astrology thing. This is I have to do a 15-second rant on a sports topic that is annoying me. My favorite NBA team is the Boston, and I'm not going to go on forever, even though I know I always say that.
Is that
I do go
team?
On forever. Yes, my favorite NBA team is the Boston Celtics.
Yeah, mine too.
I agree. They are terrible this year.
Understatement.
I don't know. I have always loved Danny Ainge. He's making tons of trades and stuff. They've been inconsistent and terrible most of the year. I understand that. So one of my arch rivals is the LA Lakers. LA Lakers have even a worse record than the Celtics. But my gripe is the Boston Celtics are never on television, even between all the networks and everything. The LA Lakers are on minimum once, normally at least twice a week. Why do I have to watch, if I'm going to watch basketball, why do I have to see a putrid LA Lakers team that is like 13-39 or whatever the heck they are? Why do they get on TV twice a week? And the Boston Celtics, who granted are almost equally as bad, they have a slightly better record, are never on TV. And I really don't have an answer. I saw something about the Lakers got some kind of contract deal with the, but it's still, it's, you know, every network has them on constantly, and it's getting really annoying because they're awful and they're painful to watch.
And my other favorite team is the Cavs.
Yes, the Cavs are my second.
Fine.
It's funny, none of my favorite sports teams in any sport are Ohio teams. I've kind of, I guess when I was young, I resented having them all jammed down my throat. It's like I don't root for the Big Ten. Because they've been jammed down my throat ever since I watched sports.
Right.
But I've come to a lot of the Ohio teams, or, you know, my second or third favorite teams. And a lot of the sports now, I've tried to kind of I guess I don't associate with being on Earth that much, let alone Ohio. But that's where I am, and so I try to secondarily root for the Ohio. I like the Blue Jackets and the Cavs and the Browns, and I like some of the Bengals players and stuff, so I've tried. But not, you know, none of my favorite sports teams are the local teams in any sport.
Well, guess what?
What?
Guess what? Producer Iggy, shame on you. I'm looking through the emails, right, for the show,
right.
And I put 2/11. I don't know why I thought today was 2/11. It was my wife's birthday. I was like, 2/11. I'm going, today's 2/10. Well, no wonder she hasn't called in. So I'm about to reschedule with her.
Okay.
So I do apologize to everybody who was waiting for that interview. But, oh, man. It's just...
These things happen.
It's right there. That's the proof in the pudding. I really... Because I thought yesterday was like... I went to bed like really late. So it was like the 10th.
I'm
so
horrible on...
I was going to wake up. It's going to be the 11th. So there you go.
The only
Mercury
reason...
got me.
Mercury retrograde strikes. One last...
They got Iggy.
Strike from...
Got
yep.
Iggy.
So, yeah, the only reason I knew... The only reason I knew the date was because... we had the Ash Cave gathering on our Facebook, on my Facebook event list for a long time, so I had that date stuck in my head. But yeah, keeping track of time is just, I can't even keep track of what time it is during the day anymore because my life's structured so differently than it used to be. So hey, these things happen,
right?
And hopefully we can maybe reschedule her on for next Tuesday.
Yeah. I'm sending her a little message here. That way she doesn't think I'm crazy or something. What are you talking about? You said... But yeah, so... But that's how it goes. It happens. It happens like that. I don't know how I didn't catch that before. You know, I don't know what I was thinking.
Oh, I know. I do. I've been guilty of the same things before. Been guilty. In fact, I have to... I'm having to reschedule my guest for this Friday also, just because they had some other time restraints. So I had a pretty big guest I was going to have on this Friday, but I'm going to have to bump her back until her schedule is a little more accommodating. She's got many things she's struggling right now. So I will, once I nail down a guest for the old rabbit hole this Friday, I will post that up, and we'll probably be going over
right,
and if not, I'll try and go over trying to have a Valentine's. It's this Friday. Well, Friday the 13th is this Friday.
Mm-hmm.
For those of you that are superstitious or whatnot or out there and or into numerology even, and yeah, and then this Saturday is Valentine's Day, so I'll try and be soft and cuddly Friday, as opposed to my normal rascally rabbit stuff. So if I don't have someone lined up, or even if I do, the topic will probably look at relationships. And I know there's some people out there that know maybe some of the basics of astrology, like what sign they are and what signs, you know, Capricorn goes good with Virgo and Taurus and that kind of stuff. But that can really lead you down.
Now you can interview me.
Yeah, that can really lead you down a wrong road when you're looking just at sun signs, when you're trying to look at long-term compatibility and stuff like that. And I do readings for individual people and stuff, by the way. I think, you know, I never seem to mention that. So a lot of times we'll look at, there's many different things you can look at between two people's charts when you're looking for long-term compatibility and stuff. Sometimes just looking at the sun signs can be very misleading. Sun sign does not always reflect the inherent nature of the person's chart. And there's lots of details you can glean from looking at two people's charts in aspect to each other. And so either whether it's just me babbling or if I have a guest on Friday, I'll be giving you some key points and some additional things to look at just beyond sun sign compatibility, and I'll share some of information that I have picked up through doing probably, I don't know how many readings I've done in my life, at least several hundred.
Yeah, I need a secretary, man.
Yeah.
I'm not working too well. I'd fire me. Your guest is coming all day. What, Iggy? Yes, Iggy. No. That's fine. It's not the first time I've done that. It's been a while since I've done that.
Yeah.
Just got excited, you know, I got really excited about it.
Yeah. Yep. Happens.
My friend came from Youngstown State yesterday. He's another medicine man visiting. He's here for a conference, technology conference. So he was visiting last night. Went and played soccer a little bit. Got home. We had a couple beers. We had some Pisco, shots of Pisco, which is kind of like brandy, Peruvian brandy. It's back there. So,
ooh.
So we were just kind of like happy.
I am partial to brandy.
So we were like, yeah. You know, that's good time. So.
Right. Good.
So it was nice to let loose and cut back a little bit. You know, have the finer things, you know, and so the physical body can enjoy it. As the spirit's going, yeah, I need some of that.
Right. I'm not gonna judge. Sometimes I just need that. Sometimes it's good to have a little physical help to kind of shift the mind, kind of get out of the. Because where I'm at now is like when I'm not doing a show or a class or something. I mean, we have an event or an activity. I'm pretty much working on projects and getting stuff together for classes and presentations and working on some ginormous databases and things. My brain gets a little mushy sometimes. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you got to have that little something to... And the essential oils work good for that too a lot of times. But, you know, sometimes you just need that little glass of brandy or something to help kind of calm the brain down a little bit.
Yeah, or send it on a trip.
Right.
Why don't you go over there, ego, for a while, you know?
Right.
It's back there in that clear bottle. It's behind your head by the antlers. I'm describing.
I see.
Marks over here. Oh, yeah, I see it now. But, yeah, that's funny. We're just kind of like...
You're
floundering, Mark.
Floating from now, we're fine. Floating from topic to topic.
That's when Katie would like step in and say something.
Right.
That was her cue, you know, to come in. I realize she's not here.
Sometimes there's a pause to let things soak in a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. So we're definitely. Things are pretty calm and introverted right now. As when Mercury goes retrograde tomorrow, then on the 19th, Mars goes into Aries. So it's I've been touched on this for a minute when she called in, but yeah, like astrologically, now is the time to really be working on your manifestation, and I'm working on something that's really good that I've recommended to people, and I'm doing now is creating a vision board of. You know what, being a
an actual vision board.
Yeah, being
I thought you didn't like that.
Oh,
you
no.
Told me one time you didn't like that, but I don't know.
Oh,
but go ahead. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, it's all right. Being a right-brained Pisces, Neptunian, fishy. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'm very visually oriented. I'm very good at learning and manifesting things from. You know, if I can see something done or, you know, I'm better at that than taking a reading from a book and applying that. I'm better at visually watching or something where I have, you know, I can do the Pisces chameleon thing by looking and observing and kind of, you know, and it all goes back. Neurolinguistics sometimes gets thrown into a negative vein sometimes, because that's how they do a lot of the Illuminati does a lot of the programming and stuff through the television and media and stuff by putting bad, but that's how you can put good things into your head too. through that. And so that's kind of what, like we talked about with Gary a couple weeks ago, with, you know, like spells or prayer, meditation, whatever you want to call it,
mm-hmm.
whatever form you do, it's that. And there's even like a lot of sports teams use professional psychologists even sometimes to, you know, get the person to visualize making the free throw at the end of the game or scoring the winning touchdown or whatnot. And it works, you know, that works for us on an individual level too, is, you know, because, you know, we have thoughts of, gee, I would like this, or I would like to be able to do that, or,
mm-hmm.
you know, I can see myself here, whatnot. But then, like, actually, like, focusing more energy on it, you know, it's kind of like a ritual, you know, you finding pictures on the internet or pictures of your friends or of a car you want or a holistic center or whatever it is that you want. Sometimes taking the time to really think about exactly what you want and looking at pictures and, you know, printing them out or whatnot, you know, and creating yourself a vision board, and you get to see those that, you know, if you put it up, you get to see it all the time,
mm-hmm.
and you know it helps you. I really think it, if you're visually oriented, that it helps you manifest and create things, and it like helps you just keep putting that energy in there, and you start, you know, you're creating those neuro pathways to create the reality and the things that you want. And sometimes just having a visual reminder all the time, it's like, I'm a list person. I have lists of things I need to get done and mm-hmm. what projects and whatnot. And having that visual reminder, it helps me get it stuck in my head. So just to visualizing, sometimes having an actual picture to look at of what we want or what we want to focus on, or of rabbits or whatever, you know.
Yeah. It's the BAM factor.
Right, right. And that, I find having a visual backup helps me manifest and create the things that I want by,
because,
mm-hmm. you know, then it's, you know, those visions come back into your head and it's like, okay, how do I get there? How do I get from, and that's why I love astrology so much, because it's, even though it does with spirit, deals with spiritual and emotional things and whatnot, it is still, it is a black and white, I have a chart to look at.
Mm-hmm.
I have something physically I can hold in my hand and see, you know, Mars is squaring my Pluto or whatnot. I can physically see these things, and it helps me kind of meditate and focus on them,
mm-hmm.
having kind of a 3D hard copy physical thing of something or a visual picture of something.
Yeah, it's, I don't know if people remember, I mean, vision boards have been around for a while, so it's
right.
nothing new, but during the time when they had the film The Secret,
yes.
with Joe Vitale and all those guys and all that whole group of people. Vision, they had talked about a vision board, and, you know, the vision boards, like you're saying, it's a very, very powerful tool. And you shouldn't, I mean, according to what I was taught, is you shouldn't, like, go all out, you know, because you'll get the things to work. There was one scene in the movie where they were talking about one guy who was teaching people, and he actually bought the same house. It was on one of his vision boards that he had put away.
Oh, wow.
During his move. When he pulled his vision board out, he's like, started laughing because it's the same house that he's in, and didn't realize that he bought the house. Because he had multiple vision boards. It wasn't just like one.
Right. But it was like he had like an old one, and he dug
yeah.
it out when he was getting ready to move, probably. And
yeah, and then his son pulled one out, and there it was.
Wow.
So, I think we have everything that we truly want at any given time. It's if we act on it, if we take that manifestation, act on it, do we receive it? I don't think people are necessarily poor because they weren't before. It's just no one's ever taught them how to be rich, you know, or to be wealthy in different ways.
Right.
You know, we learn patterns. We learn different things from people who come before, our ancestors before us, be it mom or dad, grandma, grandpa. So we're in these systems, these little boxes, these little cubicles, per se.
Yes.
And so the next thing you know, you're just repeating the same behavior as the people before you.
Right.
So as soon as you start stepping out, you and I know this for a fact, that as soon as you and I start stepping out and want to be different, that's when you hear everybody's two cents.
Right.
Because when you're in the dirt with them and you're down in the grunge with them, you know, whatever you want to call it, they don't say anything because, you know, the
right.
company's perfect. You know, they're right.
right
where they need to be. bam, and as soon as you want to step, you step one little big toe out, you know, they're like, oh, wait, you don't, as soon as the foot goes out, oh, no, no, no. And then you go, oh, you're in a cult.
Right, right, right.
Well, I'm a cult, what cult?
Right.
You know?
Right. So, I'm not a lemming.
But, you know, that's, vision boarding is important. It's super huge. And I have to redo mine.
And that, yeah, I mean, and that goes too back to what we were talking about, you know, men have tried to keep women in their place or whatnot for a long time too, and it's very comfortable in the herd, it's very comfortable in the crowd, and you find too that once you start, whether it's spiritually awakening or emotionally or psychically opening up or whatnot, you know, the universe does sometimes throw challenges at you, because it'll be like, okay, you said you want this, but now we're going to throw an obstacle or two in your way. So we're going to see, hey, do you really want this, and how much do you want this? And then from that point, it's like, you know, it's like, are you going to give up when the, you know, you hit your first roadblock, which sometimes is very early, or when you get multiple roadblocks, or is that going to help you focus? Is that going to make you more determined and help put some of that creative and manifesting energy into what it is that you're wanting or what you're working towards?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's all education. It's all teaching,
right,
rethinking and retooling who you are and how you were raised. I think it's super important, because I think we're on the verge of a new creation, and there's abundance everywhere. If you look for it, you know, if you're in the flow with it, that's the big word they always used to say. Well, get in the flow.
Right.
What I found is, in the work that I do, is people don't know how to get in the flow. They don't know how to get in. They see the water running, but they just don't know how to get in it. They don't have that vehicle. It could be a canoe. It could be a log. It could be a raft or inner tube. You know, how you get into the flow. That's, I think, where I try to help and I try to facilitate, you know, finding the right vehicle for somebody to use. Because at times you have to use maybe a small thing versus a big thing. It's like buying a yacht and you don't have any gas in it.
Right.
You can't. You know, start by baby steps. Get into the little canoe and just float down. And as soon as you find another person has the same vision, they jump on. You both are rowing together. And then the next thing you know, that canoe's too small. So you got to get a bigger raft, you know. And then there's four of you. And then the next thing you know, you've got your yacht with everybody who's,
right,
you know, working and teaming up. I'm really big about team ups and working, because I believe when people work together, they create a synergy and a powerful introduction of thoughts and mastermind energy. You know?
Right.
I really believe that. And then, you know, and then when you're apart, you're empowered, because you can fall back on those people to tell you, hey, this is what I'm thinking. What do you think? You know, and they won't come from a place of judging. They'll come from a place of understanding and empathy and saying, okay, Iggy, this is what we see. This is how we're experiencing the moment. You know, may not be a good idea, la la. Because in my favor, this is what I wouldn't do. So you learn from each other, because so many of us go at it by ourselves, man. And I'll tell you, I'll be the first one guilty to say that I thought that I had to prove to the world that I could conquer it. But no man is an island.
Guilty.
You know,
guilty.
No man is an island. No woman's an island. You know, even the most creative minds surrounded themselves with some very powerful minds. There are people who don't want to be in the limelight, who don't want to be seen, you know, that's not what their ambition is. But then they have this guy who's willing to go out, stick his neck out if it doesn't work or works, and be that. And so I really, that's why I get to do the things that I do, because of my friends that are around me, the associations that I have. You know?
Right, right, totally. I mean, because I have Saturn in Aries, so yeah, I have that. I'm going to go out on my own and do this thing and, you know, step out of it. I have no problem stepping out of the box. I mean, I can't even count the number of times in my life where I've been the lone dissenter in a room or in a discussion.
Yeah.
So I have no problem standing my ground when I'm vastly outnumbered. But yes, I don't always remember the other part, which is, I mean, I need, because I have no, anyone that knows me will attest that coming up with ideas is not a problem for me.
Yeah, I think that's why you and I get along.
Right. I have no problem with ideas and coming up with plans and stuff. But I need people around me that are good sounding boards to, you know, that can, hey, you know, dude, you're a loon. You know, I need that feedback sometimes because I have that creative ability. It's just some of my ideas suck.
Well,
very feasible.
But so do mine. You know, there's times where I think something's a great idea and someone shines the light on it from a different angle, and then they cast a shadow. Then you get to see, you know, the other thing. And I had to learn to be, what's the best word to use it? To be receptive to somebody's, you know, advice. And because you have to be careful where you get advice, too, you know, where you're getting feedback
from.
Because if you ask somebody who has no clue about anything about, if you're looking for that kind of answer, you're going to get that kind of answer.
Right.
So if you know somebody who's a mechanic, well, you don't go to a surgeon unless he's a mechanic surgeon, but, you know, to a surgeon and say, hey, how do you fix my carburetor, you know?
Right.
Well, I don't know. Well, this is what I would do. You go to the source. You go to where you think you're going to get the proper information.
Right.
And, but I sometimes have a hard time when I have these great ideas, and I'll mention it, and I'll say, oh, I'll have a soundboard, and I'll shoot off somebody, and they're just got that look on your face like, so two things happen. That look on the faces, they don't know what the hell you're talking about, or number two, they think it's the stupidest thing that ever happened. But I'll tell you right now, stupidest things, sometimes I create amazing things. Pet rock, for example.
It's that the hardest step is often that first step, stepping out of the box.
Mm-hmm.
Once you step out of the box, it was, you know, so fearful. Everyone was like, oh, don't go out of the box. A great movie that's really underrated is The Village, the M. Night Shyamalan movie.
Yeah.
Came out in the early 2000s, a couple years after 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
If you recall the culture that was going on in America at that time, just a really great social commentary and just how fear would be used to keep people inside the, you know, don't go beyond the village, don't go beyond those walls.
Right.
Then once you step outside of the walls, you know, then you're like, you know, how did I exist in that tiny little space? So sometimes the hardest thing is taking that first step because you don't always know what's on the other side. And it's like you step outside of the wall and you're like, oh, wow, there's a whole, it doesn't end here. There's nothing,
right.
it's a whole new reality. You're going to have a new set of challenges and things. But that stepping outside of the box is the first step.
Yeah, you know, that movie wasn't super great. Like, you know, but it had a lot of meaning.
There was a lot of messages, political messages, there's a lot of stuff in there.
You know, when I watched that movie for the first time, I thought it was going to be something completely different. But then as I watched it, because he likes to put that spin on things.
Yeah.
And that spin didn't come off like The Sixth Sense did.
Right.
You know, it didn't come out the same way. But I found it really interesting that, you know, we live like that.
Yep.
I hate to tell you, we live like that today.
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. Especially the environment the first couple of years after 9/11 was so just, the media was just not, I mean, every second of the day was just throwing fear out at you. And yeah, because I actually went and saw, I'm a big M. Night Shyamalan fan, so we actually went and saw that movie at the theater. And I was really disappointed in it. And then just a few minutes left in the movie, it was like, because I'd read a review of the movie before we went.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I don't know what that reviewer was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I don't, you know. And then just a couple minutes left in the movie, I think I created a disturbance in the theater. Actually,
yeah.
I went, oh! Yeah, like,
yeah.
And just like my brain, I was like, now I see. Now I get. So then, you know, I got the DVD later on and I watched. I'm like, okay, this is, now I see what's going on. And in fact, since I've merged onto M. Night Shyamalan. Another movie, his second one that didn't get got very little publicity, really, was called Unbreakable. Had Samuel Jackson and Bruce Willis. I thought it was good first time I watched it, but then it just kept popping, like kept popping into my head all the time, and it's like I have to watch that again. And like I watched it again, I'm like, wow. To me, that's like one of my all-time favorite movies. It's just amazing.
The glass.
Just the stuff, right. And just Bruce Willis's whole character, his whole awakening thing as to, I mean, just a great example of mankind's wake. You know, he's just a guy, his marriage isn't going good, and he's hitting on women on the train, and you know, he undergoes this traumatic experience, and he just starts awake. I mean, it's just, even I rewatch that movie a couple times a year.
Mm-hmm.
I just love it. I mean, just total awakening of, you know, finding, coming to his true spirit, and it's just very symbolic of the spiritual and mental awakening, you know, I went through, and I see a lot of other people go through. You just start seeing, hey, I have this power. I have this ability to step out of the box. I have this ability to change things. It's only when we stay in the little box and we're told we're not good enough, sometimes by ourselves, and then we have to stay in this little box. And it's like once you realize, like, I'm a powerful spiritual being, and all of my problems have been in my life have been by me agreeing to go through things or blindly going along with things or fighting myself to stay in the box. And once you see that awakening, and you know it does, it's like, I mean, I just totally love that movie now, because now it's just like, it's like, wow.
You know what's cool about that movie too is that even within his flawness, you know, he still had all the things that were going on in his life. He could still step out into the light, you know?
Right.
And that's an important message for people to understand, because sometimes, and I know you have come across people and I've come across people who feel like that they have to work so hard to get into the light that they have to leave everything behind or not be, they have to be so aligned and so whatever, you know?
Right.
And that's a good message that, you know, even with your shadow side, you can still be in the light, because when the light hits you, you got shadow. You have to embrace it.
Right. And if you don't go through some of those things, a lot of people, yeah, I mean, a lot of people have or go through a traumatic experience of some sort that has to kind of, you know, if you're making your breakfast, you have to crack that egg. There has to be something that kind of shatters the exterior wall of that egg so that you can, no idea where this analogy is going. you have to crack that outer shell to kind of get to the
right. The
essence, because what you want is what's inside of the egg.
There's yolk, but there's more. You know?
Right. That's where the real substance is, and you have to
It's like Mr. Glass. Okay, let's take Mr. Glass, for example.
Because I've butchered this analogy.
He had everything.
Right.
He had everything. He had everything that he possibly ever wanted because of, and he used it to his benefit, being vulnerable. You know, he used everything to gain what he gained through his weakness. He was a victim.
Yes.
And he was a victim in his role.
And he played into that victim mentality.
Mm-hmm.
And every time he got close to succeeding, it was like he was, on some level, he was holding himself back.
Mm-hmm.
And then he would have another accident or an injury. And, you know, like he had to know. He was chasing the guy that had the gun outside the stadium, the one scene. And he falls down the steps. And, like, he was constantly holding himself back. And he was enamored with, you know, the light. He kept looking for that one phrase the whole time, a lone survivor, sole survivor. which was his quest his whole life, was to find that the antithesis or the mirror of himself, of his reality, to help try and, like, make him whole or whatnot.
His opposite.
Yes.
You know, that's kind of like the old saying, like, well, one is working towards the light, the other one's going to the dark. You know, wherever, there's always an opposing force.
Right.
So one's moving into the light, somebody's always moving into the darkness. So that's what, I think that's what I got out of the movie.
Right.
And then he finally met him.
Right.
Bruce Willis wasn't impressed at all with him, you know?
Right,
he
right.
was more impressed with Bruce Willis because, you know, he's his alter ego, his,
right.
his, what he could have been or could be or and, wish he was.
And Bruce Willis did not know what was...
Yeah.
He was not aware at the time until he started looking, you know, I've never been sick.
Yeah.
I've never been injured.
Right. And the other guy has gone through everything you can imagine.
Right.
And we meet people like that every day.
Right.
I mean, you and I will be together somewhere and say, oh, my muscles hurt. Oh, I feel sick. Oh, you know, it's...
Right.
And you're like... Man, when you can you go over there?
Right,
like,
right.
Further with that one.
Right.
You know, but, you know, that's there's people like that who really buy into those things, and they just amplify them more. You have to love them, I guess.
Right.
You know.
Right.
Because they're not really loving themselves, so at least give them the opportunity by showing them compassion and
right.
empathy. Don't feel sorry for them.
Hey.
I don't feel sorry for my wife when she's hurting. I have empathy for her.
Right.
What she's really looking for. She's not looking for me to be feeling sorry for her.
Right.
You know, she's kind of just stating something that's, in her mind, seems real.
Right. I mean, and even to look at kind of the thread, you know, even looking at M. Night Shyamalan's, you know, first four movies or whatever, you know, had The Sixth Sense where you had the kid who's able to kind of...
Awesome.
Yeah. See beyond the boundary, see beyond this where you could see, you know, see the dead people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so again, that was kind of changing the boundaries of our perception and whatnot. Then you had Unbreakable where you had the, you know, Bruce Willis's character had the awakening, you know, seeing outside of what was his, you know, thought was his mortal little box he was stuck in.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had The Village where people were looking outside of, you know, they were stuck. They were stuck in the box. They
right.
thought their little village was the only place they could exist, and they couldn't go outside of the walls.
Mm-hmm.
Or don't be go. You can't go past the woods.
Yeah.
I think was their pet. Yeah, and then too, even you know, Signs was.
Oh yeah, Signs. I forgot about that.
So too, that was kind of the, you know, Mel Gibson's character having to break. He had kind of created a little fear-based box he was in after the death of his wife in
right.
that accident. And so he had to kind of have something challenge his boundaries as well. He had to have something to kind of push him outside of his kind of little self-pitying, self-loathing kind of box that he was stuck in. So he, too, you know, now it took an extraterrestrial...
invasion.
Force, right, and you notice too, they don't really give that much of an ending as to what defeats the aliens. It's just they play a little snippet of a news report that seemed to be water that they didn't like, and they all retreated. So, but it's like once he pushed back against the wall, the boundaries, like the negative energies that were physically confronting them disappeared at that point.
Yeah, and high spiritual. Overtones, you know. Water is cleansing, purification.
Yes. And emotion.
You know, emotion. So, and actually it's a carrier of energy. You can actually transmit on it. And it's just, a water takes form of anything. It can destroy, it can create, it can, you know, manifest. So.
It takes a long time, but water eventually wears holes in the biggest mountains.
Yeah, that's true. That is so true. I like that movie too. She had like foreseen the future.
Yeah.
And she kind of just told him, keep swinging that bat, you know?
Right. Swing away, Meryl.
Yeah, swing away. And, you know, no one really knew why until towards that end, you know?
Right. Sometimes you just, you don't know. You don't know why certain things happen. I mean, just like, you know, some of the big projects I'm working on. I mean, I have a very diverse work history, you know. It's like I worked at a – I delivered papers, newspapers to vending boxes. Mm-hmm. I managed video stores, worked at a pizza place for a while. You know, one of my first jobs really was doing statistics on sporting events. You know, mostly, you know, basketball and football, but I did some. I worked at Jesse Owens Track Classic one year and some other things like that, doing stats. And it's like all these different similar, you know, all these different parts of me, you know, having the sports knowledge and the math knowledge, and then getting into the astrology stuff and the, you know, the conspiracy stuff and whatnot, I was always interested in. And, you know, all these things seem like very separate, diverse components. But now it is like, you know, so a lot of my most popular blogs are my sports blogs, my sports astrology blogs. And I've got several projects I'm working on now related to that, because there's very little to almost no good sports astrology information out there. As far as in hard copy of books and things, there are some good sports astrologers out there, but there's very little good reading or reference material out there. And so just, you know, just like in, you know, all these different components and different pieces of what that seemed unrelated in my life have all kind of are merging into, you know, into the rabbit hole, the sports astrology and the conspiracy stuff and the alien stuff and all you know, the spiritual stuff and the, you know, the essential oils I was interested in 20 years ago and kind of dropped out of those, and those are flowing back in. So all these different pieces are merging at the right time for me, even though they seemed unrelated. And just like, you know, in Signs, the little girl leaving water glasses everywhere the whole time.
Right. No,
and Merrill having his baseball bat hung up on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
If it wasn't right at that spot on the wall where he could have reached it, right when that, you know, alien invaded, and if the daughter, the little daughter, hadn't left all those half-empty water glasses right when they knocked the alien into the stand and it knocks over all the water onto him.
Right.
If all these different, seemingly stupid, unrelated things had not happened at an earlier time, they would not all have been at the right place at the right time. Just like you and me meeting. We met 5 years ago, and we did not really get, other than just a few minutes here and there, we didn't really get to hang out until the last year.
Right.
And it's like you had to go through some things, and I was going through some things, and we had to both kind of sort out all these little details to where we were kind of teamed up now at this point in time, and absolutely for a reason.
That's kind of interesting you say that, because 5 years ago, we were all in a different place, like you're saying, in a completely different place.
Different world.
You know, and but we didn't connect how we connect now, like you're saying.
Right,
I mean,
right,
now
right.
we're like,
right.
You know, we're like, you're here.
right. You know? And it's like sometimes we run across people or we don't meet people until a certain time to where we're ready. So we made that connection 5 years ago, but like we weren't ready to start
dating.
We weren't ready for our bromance.
Okay. There you go. I think people get a kick out of that one.
So we had a few more things. So we made that connection, but we had to go through a few more things to get to where we're ready to start tackling the things we're tackling
now. Mark can't look me in the eyes now. He's drinking his water, looking away. But don't look away, Mark. Excuse me. You didn't see that one coming.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's funny.
But you know, but that's how it works at certain times. And you know, I've you know, dated people and stuff that I had met a few years previous, but it wasn't the right time, and like some other things had to happen to get, you know, to where we're at the same place at the same time or whatnot. I mean, it's really weird how, you know, what seems like a I don't believe in coincidence, but what can seem like a coincidence at the time or a random meeting or a very innocuous event can sometimes.
Yeah.
Right. So even just to follow the sports trend, I mean, I went to a little teeny Christian, what have we got, 5 minutes? Okay. Went to a little teeny Christian school mm-hmm. in middle school, like sixth through ninth grade. And my mom got remarried. And then so we moved. I ended up going to a high school where the head basketball coach there was in my junior year in high school was his last year there. He retired, and he was like, he may still be the all-time winningest basketball coach in Ohio basketball history.
Oh, cool.
He's in the top couple. But it just so happened that I was there at the time, and they needed a statistician my senior year in high school. So I went out for basketball, but I hadn't played with those other guys, and was just still kind of
– right.
So I was a decent basketball player, but they had been a state powerhouse the two – you know, they went 47-3 the 2 years before I'd went there, ranked number one in the state both years. So – but I didn't make the basketball team my senior year. But because I didn't, they needed a statistician.
Okay.
So I was doing stats for the high school – for Whitehall where I went. And it just so happens that they're all-time – you know, all-time winningest coach in Ohio history at that time, I believe, had just retired. He went into broadcasting.
Hmm.
And he goes, hey, I know somebody. We need a statistician for the games. I know somebody who does stats.
Mm-hmm.
So by me not playing basketball my senior year in high school, I ended up in a seasonal part-time career, but it's lasted for, you know, from March of 1985 through – I was working on some of that stuff with a broadcaster.
That's cool.
I worked with, so, you know, through February of 2015. So
mm-hmm.
30 years later,
right.
I'm still working on that thread. And now the astrology stuff has tied into it.
Mm-hmm.
And so what's a seemingly innocuous event, or maybe a disappointing event at first, because I didn't make the basketball
right,
team.
Right, I was going to ask you about that.
But then it led to, look what it led to.
Sure.
Look what it led to, you know?
Hi.
Right, right. But 30 years, like I said, my biggest blogs normally are my sports astrology blogs and
mm-hmm. yeah,
working on books and databases and things. On
one turn down the road, man.
Another, yep.
Takes you a completely different path.
Yep. You just never know.
Thin threads, they call them.
Yep.
Cool.
You know, you just believe that people, places, and things are put in front of you for
I believe
reason.
That. I believe that people in front of us are meant to be there, perceived, you know, good or bad, whatever it is. There's a reason they're there. And you learn from them in both aspects. You know, sometimes they can be very painful lessons.
Yeah,
and sometimes they can be the most joyful, and then sometimes they're the ones that you're not sure if you should have acted on them. You know, I wish I had
right.
We've all had those,
right?
And there's sometimes we're like, man, I'm glad they're gone. You know, I miss them. You know, or you miss the emotions you attach to the people. You know, because that's what we all do. We attach, and then we have those experiences in those moments.
Right, and sometimes it's projecting certain things.
Oh, of course it's projecting, yeah.
So, you know, there's a saying that, you know, you can't change the past, which is in fact true, but on another level, you can rewrite it, because I had things that happened in my past that I was like, oh, God, that was awful, that was horrible going through that and stuff. But then it's like, you know, as you kind of awaken and stuff, you're like, wow, I had to go through that. That led me to these people
mm-hmm.
and to these other steps and to this awakening part of the process and to so what seems like horrible stuff at the time can just lead, you know. It's a part of getting you outside the walls of the village or
yeah.
outside of your comfort zone or outside of your perception of reality at the time. And that gets you on a new set of paths, a new set of directions.
Yeah, and I've talked to people about rewriting. They don't understand, but I explained to them in this way. Once you've had that experience, you can start looking at it from different angles, like you're kind of explaining. You can kind of see it from this point of view, that point of view. It's like history. You know, history is written according to how they see it at that moment and how they experienced it. But if you ask 50 other people how they saw it, you know, they would see it completely different. So even your own experience that you're having at that given time, if you were to go back, you know, you had a traumatic moment, you can go back and go look at it from this side versus that side. You'll start to see it differently. Then that's where you can rewrite it. Okay, maybe I broke my leg because this, you know, maybe I shouldn't have stepped on that broken ladder, you know, or maybe instead of, because at that moment you're probably going, dang, I'm cursing everything and I broke my leg, and you're in the, you know, you're in that, dang, you know, like when I broke my leg playing soccer,
right?
I remember I was like, I was so angry at the person who broke my leg, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And thinking about, you know, they were playing hard on me and whatever, they tackled me wrong. But when I went back and thought about it, you know, maybe I made a maneuver that I shouldn't have made, you know, or maybe I shouldn't have done this or that. But this guy, maybe he just bumped me. Maybe it was just a bump and my leg just gave at that time, you know. But that broken leg took me on some amazing journeys, which is, you know, which is kind of funny. You know, I ended up going, you know, in a place in my own mind to learn things about who I was and what I thought I was and my vulnerability as a human being. You know, okay, wow, you know, my leg broke. You know, now I can't do this or that, independent of this. 8 months recuperating. Well, my broken leg took me to Peru, you know.
Yep.
And my, you know, I ended up climbing a mountain in Peru with a healing, with a leg was, I was in healing mode like the last, but it shouldn't have taken 8 months to go through all that process. I physically could heal sooner, but my mind was so hurt that I was so vulnerable and weak at that moment that it took me longer to recover. But in that long period of time, I went through a lot, and I went through a lot of thinking, a lot of processing, which was good for me because, you know, sometimes we have cocky attitude, and sometimes we think,
oh,
you know,
yeah,
we're invincible, and it was a changing, and it was a stepping stone to a new realities and new thinking about how I perceive myself or how others think about me. And it was also a point where I was thinking, well, you know, I don't want to do this or do that. I kind of want to do this. I've been doing this for a while, but it's kind of been in the background. And then, you know, just spawn off into a whole bunch of cool stuff.
You many times it is difficult to ascertain at the time why a certain thing happens. Right. Sometimes we're needed. Something weird has to happen to get us in the right place at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you know, like I was, you know, I was sick a large part of, you know, from Thanksgiving through New Year's. And it's like I needed to stop. I wasn't stop. I was just kept plugging in, you know, all these different things and everything. I needed to stop and rethink the way I was doing things, mm-hmm, and how I was working and stuff.
Right.
And I didn't listen at first.
Mm-hmm.
So I see now where I needed that time to stop.
Mm-hmm.
And just, you know, a concept that's was difficult for me, and, it, you know, I can't say that it's always exactly like this, but it's, you know, sometimes the people that hurt us the most help us in our growth the most.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes we can have, I'm not necessarily talking about, you know, it's never good to be beaten or abused,
right,
by someone or anything like that. But sometimes somebody who hurts our feelings or doesn't reciprocate emotions we have or things like that, you know, I think sometimes they're maybe a spirit that's lost or undergoing their own trauma. But sometimes it's, you know, I think on a soul level, we've signed contracts to people that, like, with people that, like, hey, I, on the physical 3D level, I may be mad at you, but on the spiritual level, at some point in this incarnation, I need you to wake me up.
Yeah. Good point.
And so sometimes what may be a cruel or kind of harsh thing on the 3D or emotional level helps our spiritual nature so much that sometimes it takes someone who really, you know, loves us a lot spiritually to do something that may be kind of rough that somebody else may not be able to do. Just an observation.
That's
again,
true.
That's not a cookie cutter across the board thing that can be applied to every situation, but I do believe that's true in some situations.
Oh, cool. What closing thoughts? If that wasn't one.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't take everything at face value. There may be another bit of information that comes to you at a later point that will make Ed, my girlfriend and I have this discussion all the time. Sometimes she says something to me and it makes no damn sense. And then 4 days later, it's almost like we're throwing a bunch of phrases up in the air.
Sure.
And sometimes they make no sense. And like 4 days later, I have a question. And it's like she answered that question, making no sense and completely out of context. She said something 4 days beforehand that answers the question. So we teach each other on this really weird level.
Yeah.
It's very interesting.
Well, I don't know why it came to my head. Spirit obviously wants me to say wooden nickels make good kindling. So
wooden nickels make good kindling.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, you know, we've all been given wooden nickels and, you know, we either react or respond to it. So they're learning lessons. You know, not being duped or being duped. So
right.
What you do with that experience, I guess, is up to you. One of those random thoughts.
Yes.
You know?
Right. Right.
So, where can people find you?
For the next few years, I'll be located on Earth still. You can. I'm not even going to give out my website. It's a fiasco in there. You can find me on Facebook. Feel free to friend me on Facebook. Last name is Methenny. Or you can search under Iggy's friends if you're already friends with him. You can find me at meetup.com. We have an astrology group and under Mystic Nirvana. You can email me at methenny1984@yahoo.com. If you want sent up to, I put out like a monthly list with usually with my radio show appearances and classes and things like that. And
cool.
I'm fairly out there. I should be fairly easy to find.
And you can find me at iggygarcia.com or on Facebook, Iggy Garcia Hoop Watcher. Those are probably the best places to find us. Or withinsights.com. We also have a website there. We have some information, some helpful hints and stuff that are going to be put up there here shortly. But we hope you enjoy the show today. And I do apologize that our guest, there was a goof up on the date there. That was my fault. So we'll reschedule with her, bring her back on next week. And whatever point she wants to do, she might not come on now.
Right.
Amateurs.
No. Right, right.
But regardless, it's what it's supposed to be, you know.
And if that happens, you know what, it turned us on to her.
Yeah, absolutely.
If her schedule's tied up, then you know what, it turned us on to her stuff. And
right. That's sometimes maybe that's what spirit wants, you know, just to keep moving and keep learning.
Yep.
So I'm good with that. So you can email us here. withinsights@gmail.com if you have any information that you want to share with us, thoughts about the show, guests you think we should have on or try to get on here. We have different shows. Mark will be on Friday at 11 a.m. Mark the Rabbit Hole, and then Mud Toe Sasquatch at midnight. We have a Throwback Thursday show coming up. Jump the gun here. which will be Thursday, of course, because it's Throwback Thursday. So spontaneous spiritual show. But we're going to actually have a Jenny Seek show. I'm going to pick of Jenny Seek's earlier shows, and that she used to be. She's actually still part of the team in a roundabout way.
She will be on my show on March 14th.
In March
13th.
Okay. And of course, tomorrow we'll have the Gypsy Wagon with Donna the New Era, Don Thompson, at noon. So tune into that show. Producer Iggy and Panda will be there. to help her along the way.
And we have the Lion's Lair show coming
up soon.
Lion's
Lair will be on the 18th at 6 p.m.
And we'll have
with Adriana Arts.
Garyana.
And
Gary.
Gary Heron.
Karen's.
You're hungry, huh? Gary Heron, yeah. He'll be on Sunday, the 22nd at 6 p.m. These are our once-month shows that we have on with Insights. Gary Heron. What did you say?
Garyana.
I thought you said Fujiyama, man.
I said Garyana.
Garyana.
Combining.
All right. And with that, we're going to dance out of here. Take us along to Disco Joe.